While I'm getting a few things together up here, I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 21. 2 Kings chapter 21. Certainly wonderful to see everyone this morning. We're thankful to God for another day of life. What a beautiful drive that we had in this morning. Thankful that we had a safe drive in. Be careful in the parking lot, by the way. Some ice underneath that snow, so we want to be cautious about that. But beautiful to see the crystals in that snow, and the beauty of that around us reminds us of God and how powerful that He is, how good that He is, and the blessings that we have in Him. What a joy that it is. And we're thankful that we serve Him, and thankful that you have sought out a way to honor Him this morning in being here and worshiping with the people of God. So we are blessed, we're thankful and grateful, and we marvel in our God every day. I'm thankful for Him. I want to extend a very warm welcome to those that are visiting with us. If you're here perhaps for the first time, we want to express to you how thankful we are that you've come. Grateful that you have shown a desire and a love for the Lord that would encourage you to be here with us. And that certainly is an encouragement to us. So we invite you back at every opportunity that you have to be with us. Many of our number this year have been stricken with the flu. And we have seen over the course of the last couple of months, especially, a passing from one person to the next of some illness or another. And to some degree, that has been strep throat or that has been the flu. Influenza. And I want to talk about something somewhat or is related to that word this morning, and that is our influence. What do we pass from one person to the next? We do have contact with others each day. We have an influence in this world. And influence, as we think about that word, has its roots in the word fluent, which relates to the flow of water, that which is easy, that which streams or runs from one place to another. The idea is that there is an easy passage from one place to the next. Someone that's fluent in a language is someone that has those words in that foreign tongue that flow very well from their mouth. And when we think about our influence or our flow or what streams from us, that's an important concept. The boat that is without anchor in the water is borne along by the influence of a current. Wherever that is flowing, that's where it goes. And if you go with the flow, that means you allow that influence to take effect and to lead you wherever that it will. So we think and we recognize this influence just in those simple, very simple things. And you have an influence. And that influence can increase. And we hope that, especially as we head into a new year, that we think about how that we affect other people, either for good or for bad, because one of those two things is certainly going to be true. Sometimes we don't see, oftentimes, the effect that we have on other people. We may not know that. You know, we may go from day to day not really recognizing the effect that we have on other people. And that's somewhat like that third picture there in the bottom. We don't recognize the effect of gravity, the effect of the moon upon our world, but it affects the tides as they go in and out. And there's a gravitational pull that affects the ocean. And the effect of those waves upon the shoreline, just as the wind influences the water and causes erosion, and the clouds contribute to the amount of water and can influence that water by storms. We don't live on a static planet. There are things moving all around. We may not recognize where that influence is coming from, but that truly is the case. And I think that in the spiritual world, that certainly is the case too. We may not recognize the influence that we have upon other people. We may not see that. That may not be readily recognizable to our eyes or our senses in some way. But the fact of the matter is, we are affecting other people by the things that we do, the way that we live. You have an influence upon the world of human beings, both those immediately connected with you and those that you just have a passing encounter with. My son always leaves me with messes to clean up, one way or the other, whether in his presence or in his absence. I'm constantly finding something that I have to kind of repair. Well, the other day I was in the garage and just kind of going through some things, and I noticed this pile of nails on the ground. Thankfully, I hadn't moved any vehicles in there or anything else. They were small nails. But yet, they were certainly a danger to any tire that would come in there. So I thought, you know, I need to get those up before something affects it. So I kind of looked around for something that might help me with that process. They literally were just scattered everywhere, and it would take me forever to pick them up by hand. And so I found something that Sheila had seen her wearing some time back, and it's just a little bracelet. I've never used this thing, but she uses it for various little projects that she does. She's very crafty. And this thing just goes around your wrist, and it's a magnet. And so I started to go around, and I'm not going to use nails, but I'm going to use these little paper clips, and just starting to pick up all these things up off the ground. And it saved me, I don't know how much time, just having to pick up those one by one individually, and I don't have fingernails, so I can't pick them up, and it becomes difficult. But that magnet helped me a lot. And there is a sense in which we do have a magnetism to us. That little magnet can't pick up a car. Some magnets can pick up a car, if you've ever seen some of those. These earth magnets that come from China are absolutely incredible. I've got a few of them. Very little, but very powerful. That thing can't pick up a car, but it can do that which it is able to do. And it can influence what it can influence. All of us, ladies and gentlemen, have an influence. And it may not be that we have this massive influence that we can pick up a car, but we can pick up some nails and paper clips. But we all have an influence. The question, I think, is whether or not we're using that influence. This little thing has a little clip that you're a button that you can press, and it releases everything. It turns off its magnetism. And I wonder if that's kind of what we do sometimes. We turn off our magnetism. We turn off our ability to influence other people. And that somewhat relates to that parable of the talents in this regard. How are we using that influence upon other people? Well, we want to look at what the Bible says about our influence. Certainly there is an element in which there is this negative influence that we can be responsible for, or that other people can influence us in a certain way. We talked last week about the fact that kids love superlatives. They love what is the best or the fastest or etc. And we talked about Jonah maybe being the most unhappy man in the Bible. Well, who is the worst man in the Bible? If you were to make your top 10 list of the most heinous villains in the Bible, who would be on your list? You went through and just started to think about all those characters in the Bible that are wicked characters or horrible people, who would be on your list. I wonder if this guy would be on your list. But as far as the Jews were concerned, the scholars were concerned, this guy was at the very top of the list. In the Old Testament, as far as Jewish scholars were concerned, and even others that have studied the Scriptures, this fellow would be at the very top. He was an awful individual. And we find him talked about in 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 16 and verse 17, and his name is Manasseh. Manasseh is one of the worst characters in the Bible. In fact, it is supposed that during his reign that Isaiah was sawn in two. Tradition says that Isaiah was sawn asunder, and that probably happened, if that is the case, in that manner, during the reign of Manasseh. He was an awful individual. Just look at what it says about him in 2 Kings here, and 21, and verses 16 and 17. Here's this awful individual. And it says that, moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides his sin, by which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Now all the rest of the acts of Manasseh, all that he did, and all the sin that he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? What puts the exclamation point on Manasseh is not only the fact that he was so horrible and that he did so many things wrong. What puts the exclamation point on this guy was he led a whole lot of other people with him. And his influence, in a negative sense, was so strong that he carried off the nation of Judah. And they began to do the things that he encouraged them to do. If you look at verse 11, verse 11 says, "Because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, he has acted more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols." He was worse than the Amorites. He was worse than those heathens, and worse than any other king that came before him. And that includes a guy by the name of Ahab. We think about bad guys. We think about kings. He was worse than all, whether before or after, I think. But if you look at verses 3 through 9, you begin to see that people were carried off by his sin. And his influence upon them was so very strong that people were not careful and they were led astray into some awful things. He sacrificed his son. He let him pass through the fire to Molech. He built altars for the host of heaven. He practiced all kinds of witchcraft and different things of that sort. And the people, it says, verse 8, were not careful in regard to those things, and they were carried off. Folks, you can have a very powerful influence, and people can have a very powerful influence on you. And we see that from this character of the Old Testament. In fact, if you go into 2 Kings 23 and verse 12, his grandson, Josiah, was having to clean up all of his mess. That sounds familiar to me. His grandson was having to clean up all the things that he did. And that influence not only has effect in this life, but as we understand in Hebrews 11, he being dead yet speaks, that influence can continue. And it has its effect for many days. Proverbs chapter 22 and verses 24 through 25 help us to understand that we can learn the ways of those that do things wrongly and can be greatly affected by that. You become a friend with an angry man, you begin to associate with somebody like that, and before long, guess what? You are. You're angry. You've got all kinds of reasons to be angry that you didn't have before. But a lot of that depends on our associations. I mean, who are we spending time with? Paul illustrates that fact in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where he talks about there the influence of an individual that was in sin, that was in their midst, this man that was committing sin with his father's wife. And he likens that, or illustrates the idea of leaven and what that can do to a person or to a group of people, corporately. You know, you anybody that cooks probably understands this. Anybody that has made sourdough bread understands this. You can have that starter that can last for years and years, decades, because it just keeps replicating itself. It keeps growing. That carbon dioxide and that fermentation that happens, and that gas that bubbles through and affects the whole lump, is very influential. And so it is with us, and so it is with God's people. And that's why there are so many warnings about allowing that kind of influence to carry us off, to allow gossip or discord or disregarding the Lord's plan to affect us and begin to carry us off with those kinds of things. There is certainly much said in the Scriptures about the dangers of this. In 2 Peter 3 and verses 17 and 18, we better be vigilant about these things. We better be cautious about these kinds of matters. And he says there, "You know, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. And we must be vigilant lest we be led astray. And there are warnings all over the Scriptures about that. The people of Israel warned in the Old Testament. If you go into the land of Canaan and you don't drive out those people that are there, and you allow them to live next to you, and you rub shoulders with those people, and you're constantly close to them, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be painful. They will be irritants in your eyes, and they will be thorns in your side, and they will harass you. You better take care of that influence. And it can certainly alter our morals. We think of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Very familiar passage to us. That evil companions corrupt good morals. Good habits. Young people, if you think that you can run with that crowd, and you can spend time with those people, whoever those people are, and that not affect you, you are fooling yourself. In a very serious way. Same thing would be true with adults. You might decide to go somewhere with a group of people and participate in something that they ought not to. You become like, oftentimes, the people that you are with and that you decide that you want to walk with. Proverbs 13:20, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." We see that kind of thing with Peter, who warmed himself at the fire of the ungodly, and the next thing that you knew, he was denying the Lord. He wasn't strong enough to resist that. A fear of confessing Christ, and then ultimately even of apostasy, of being carried off entirely, as Solomon was, this wise man, who had all the knowledge that somebody could want. But it must not stop there. And God warned him. He said, if you allow yourself to be influenced by these foreign women, they will carry your heart away. And that is just exactly what happened. The influence, the negative influence, and the power of that negative influence. Well, we certainly want to turn our attention this morning for a few minutes to the positive influence. This is what we need to be. Back in the Roman times, Roman soldiers were paid with salt. Salt was a commodity they could trade. They were paid oftentimes in salt. And that's where we actually get our expression, worth his salt. They would say, that soldier's worth his salt. What about us? Are we worth our salt? We are the salt of the earth. Are we influencing in that way? Are we having an effect? Are we worth our salt? And a Christian that does not love and is not kind and that does not reflect the truth of the gospel is like a saltless salt block. That's what we must do. And I fear if maybe we're like that little magnet and we press the button and we're going through each day and there's these little opportunities to affect, and yet we're missing those opportunities. We're not talking about some grand thing. But just to extend the love of Christ in some small way. Are we spiritual invertebrates that have lost our ability to stand on our own two feet and stiffen our resolve to do what God would have us to do? The influence that we carry with us is the most powerful of things. And it is the influence of the gospel. I can't change people, but the gospel can. And it can have an effect on the lives of men and women. If we are taking that to them and helping them with that, we are instruments of bringing the gospel to the lost, and it is the message of truth that alters the hearts of people. Over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 and 18, we must be an influence, a powerful influence through the gospel in the lives of other people. We are, remember what 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, we are to diffuse the fragrance of the gospel in every place. That's what we're to do. But the gospel affects the mind, and it can change people's minds. He says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. There's no life there. There's alienation and blindness and everything that you don't want to have. But along comes the gospel, verse 20. Along comes the gospel. And he says that you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The gospel changes our mind. It changes, therefore, what we do. Ephesians 4 and verse 24. Our actions are correlated with the thinking of our minds. And it changes who we are. And it affects our works, and that's evident to others. And it changes our speech. It changes what we enjoy. It changes the things we say no to. It changes the way we deal with other people. It changes our actions. And it certainly changes our destiny, that life and immortality has been brought to light through the gospel, and our present circumstances as well, that we are no longer in darkness, but that God has caused light to shine through that darkness. The gospel changes everything. It changed everything for me. And I'm so thankful that it did. Because I live a totally different life than that which I lived before. And what a wonder that it is that this gospel can affect in the way that it does. And we need to think about our influence upon people. We're going to have to go through this rather quickly, but I want to mention some things about individuals mentioned in the Scriptures that can change people. Young people can change people. And young people especially upon other believers. The influence of people. You have no control over the fact that you will be an influence, but you do have control over that influence. And young people can have such an effect on believers. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Will you be a son of encouragement like Barnabas, or will you be a son of discouragement? We need young people that have a desire to remain pure and keep their bodies in sanctification and honor. When we were home for the holidays, my brother Jared was talking to my grandfather. My grandfather, as I've mentioned, is somewhat toward the end of his stay here. And Jared was talking about some goals that he had made for this year. And he said, Granddaddy, do you have any goals for 2019? This is a man that can't feed himself. He can't do the things that he used to do. He's in bed most of the time. Can't walk on his own. He said, I want to remain pure. He's 93. What an example that is to a group of young people that are trying to do the same. And the reverse is true. That those young people, as they keep themselves and do well, there are older folks that are watching them. And that's a mutual benefit. That's a symbiotic kind of thing that we do for one another. When your kids grow up, they're going to want to be like somebody. These little ones, middle schoolers, they're watching you. These little biddies that are toddling around and they're in their little classes, they're watching you as middle schoolers. They look up to you. You high schoolers, these middle schoolers are looking to you as the next step, and we just keep going on up. The high schoolers are looking at those that have already gone through that, and they're now in the first stage of their life. And those folks are looking at married people and trying to figure out what they're doing with their kids. And us are trying to struggle with that and look to older folks for advice. And then those older folks in the last part of their years are looking to those that have already passed on and live their life entirely as an example of what a Christian should be. Young people, young men on the opposition, on those that are outside of Christ, and the effect on the enemy by sober-mindedness and their influence. We think about the effect of a godly spouse upon their mate. What beautiful things are said there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 through 7 about a woman who, not by throwing pots and pans or by a mean spirit, but by a gentle and quiet spirit can have an effect by her life upon her spouse. And the flow of her life will have its effect. And the husband also is mentioned there in honoring her and esteeming her and caring for her. The Christian upon the unbeliever. We cannot walk hand in hand with sinners and do as they do and accommodate them and then think that we can call on them to come to Christ. You just can't do that. We have to be distinct in the effect that we can have on other people. Paul speaks of that in a powerful way in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2, where he says, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, written not within, but by the Spirit, and not on tablets of stone, but the heart." What are people reading from us? What are the people reading from us? And then what are people reading from me? I've got in my office on my board written a phrase that I heard some time ago. And that is, you are the 67th book of the Bible. What does that mean? You are an epistle written. There are people looking at you. You have an influence. And that's what Paul's saying there in 2 Corinthians 3. People are watching. People are learning. Even if it's the shortest, smallest interaction, they're learning something about Christ from you. Let's make it good. Let's make it good this year. And then finally, of believers upon one another. A contagious zeal. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2. Paul says, your zeal and enthusiasm has stirred up other people. You've influenced them for good. They're wanting to do more because they see that you are. Your zeal has stirred up the majority. We all need that. There's not one person in this building, in this group of people, that doesn't need a pat on the back and something, some encouragement. I know I need it. I know everybody needs that. I remember when I first started preaching how badly I needed that. Still do, but especially when we first get started. And people would come out and they would pat me on the back and they would say, "Good try." I think they said, "Good job," but I know what they meant, and that was "good try." I've had a couple people actually say that to me here since I've been here. Good try. But we need that encouragement. We all need that, and believers upon one another say, "Man, I love you. You're doing so good. I want you to know how much I appreciate you. I want you to know that I'm watching and I see what you're doing with your kids and I see how you live in your life, and this just means so much to me and it's an encouragement to me." We all need that from time to time, and an encouragement for one another. And to be, as Hebrews 10:25, where it says, consider one another, to stir up one another. Well, I've been around the church of our Lord for 46 years almost. And I've seen people that stir up and they're not stirring up love and good works. They're stirring up the past. They're stirring up some problem that took place 20 years ago. They're stirring the pot. They're stirring up a lot of other things, but they're not stirring up love and good works. That's what we're to do. That's the influence that we're to be upon one another. And as sure as the sun influences the earth, our life influences people many times in unseen ways. And that's what we need to be about. If you're here this morning, we want to encourage you to be influenced by the gospel. We hope that you see a group of people that loves the Lord. We hope that you're influenced by what you see among God's people. But that's a reflection only of, we hope and pray, Jesus Christ, the effect that He's had on our life through His truth. And that's what we want you to be influenced by. The Scriptures speak to us in so many wonderful ways about the things that we should do. And we pray that the gospel would have an effect on you this morning, that you might give yourself to it, to the Word, to Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. And that you might be obedient to that. You'll be baptized into Christ, baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and then raised to walk in newness of life. And then that influence then begins for you in your life. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, we'd love to encourage you to be baptized or to repent, to confess perhaps the sin that you need to be confessing in order that you might have a clear conscience before our God. Something public. If we can help you in any way, why don't you come while we stand.